The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school, the mitzvot.
Today's daf is being dedicated by our dear friends from Aventura, Florida, Mr. Roger and Raquel Baghdadi. Hashem Alehem Yehyu. Amen. Daf Nun He. Today's daf is being studied by La'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther, Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Menuchemet Sheneftedet Bekitzur Yamin Veshanim Mazal Bat Frida, Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden, Amen. We begin today's daf on Nun Dalet Amud Bet, and we are three lines from the bottom. Our Gemara on yesterday's daf ended off with a question. The Gemara talked about Rosh Chodesh that came out on Shabbat. So the Gemara said that they would sing the song of Rosh Chodesh, and they would not sing the song of Shabbat when they're bringing the Korban, Tamid. They would sing songs every day, the Levim. So from the fact that they sang the Rosh Chodesh song and not the Shabbat song, the Gemara posed the question against Ravaha. Ravaha said that for every Musaf, you had extra Tekiot. From here you see, Mashmawat, that for every Musaf, they sang a song, and during the song, they blew the Tekiot. Here it says, no, on Rosh Chodesh, Shachaliyot B'Shabbat, they only sang the Rosh Chodesh song. So it's much, they only blew 9 Tekiot. The Gemara says, no, they sang both songs. They put the Rosh Chodesh song first. What about Tadir v'Sheino Tadir? Because they wanted to make it obvious and evident to the people that it's Rosh Chodesh. So how do you make it evident? Because the people don't know it's Rosh Chodesh. They didn't. Maybe some people didn't see the moon last night. So how do you make it evident? You put the Rosh Chodesh song first. It was, okay, must be Rosh Chodesh today. So the Gemara is assuming that that was the hekir that they made for the people so they'll know it's Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara answers on this, V'hai hekira avdinan. Is this the hekera that they do? Ha hekera aharita avdina. What do you mean? We learned in another place there was a different heker that they made, so the people will know that it's Rosh Chodesh. What was it? Netnan. We learned in a Mishnah. Helbe tamid shel shachar. The fats, limbs of the tamid shel shachar. Nitanin machatzi kevesh ulmata b'mizrach. Remember, there was a whole process the way they brought the Korban. They would bring it up the ramp, and they would take it up the ramp on the eastern side of the ramp, and they would leave them in the eastern side more than halfway down, at the halfway mark, a little lower than the halfway mark of the ramp. And they would leave them there till they did some more services, and then we continue to bring them up the ramp. Veshil musafin, and where would they put the Korban musaf parts? Nitanin machatzi kevesh ulmata. Because it's a Shabbat, right? So they would place the Musaf Mechatzi Kevesh from half the Kevesh on the west side. So when you looked at the Kevesh at a certain point in the morning, you saw Olat Tamid in the morning is on the east. You have the Musaf's Korban is on the west, both equally in the same spot on the Kevesh. And then the Kohanim would continue the process and bring the Tamid first, and then would bring the Musaf. And then it says Veshel Rosh Chodesh Nitanin tahat karkova mizbeach ulmata. Now, the karkov, we learned, was the ledge. That's the sovev. Right? That was where the Kohen would stand, actually. Now, the karkov was really two-thirds up the mizbeach. So they would place the Rosh Chodesh Korban higher than the Tamid, and higher than the Musaf of Shabbat. And the Gemara says, Ve'amar Rabbi Yohanan, lida shiugba Rosh Chodesh bizmano. The reason why they did that is so everybody will be evident to them that Rosh Chodesh was established. Because when the guy looked at the Kevesh, you saw the Tamid and the Musaf of Shabbat at our top. you see the Rosh Chodesh, another Korban. Oh, it must be Rosh Chodesh today. So that was the Siman. So make up your mind. Was it the Siman of the Shir that went first? Or was it the fact that they placed the Korban in Rosh Chodesh higher on the Mizbayah? Kebara says, Tre Hekera Avdinan. Alright, there was two Hekel. Which means, if you saw this, you saw this. If you didn't see that, you saw the other one. Which means they did it to be safe. If the guy saw the shir, hey, good, so he's covered. Now he knows it's Rosh Chodesh. Maybe some guy wasn't around for the shir, so he saw the kevesh. So therefore, you give options to a person to see it. Okay? Comes the Gemara for the Metive. We have a question. Again, we're asking questions now on the opinion of Rav Acha. Rav Acha was the one that said that when you have two musafin on one day, each musaf gets 9 tikiot. That's what the Gemara, based on this daf, is going to challenge and question that opinion. Betani Rav Shemuel, Yacho k'shem chetokhim al Shabbat b'fnei atzmo v'al Rosh Chodesh b'fnei atzmo. Well, we know that on Shabbat, Musaf, you blow the Tikiot. Shabbat, Bifnei Atzmo, a regular Shabbat during the year, when they bring the Korban Tamid, they blow. Rosh Chodesh, Bifnei Atzmo, or Rosh Chodesh falls out during the week, you blow the Shabbat. That's already Pisukim. So the Gemara says, Yachol, do you think just like you blow on Shabbat, Bifnei Atzmo, and Rosh Chodesh, Bifnei Atzmo, Kach you tokein al kol Musaf or Musaf? Do you think you blow also on every Musaf, meaning if it's Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh simultaneously? Do you think you blow twice? So this is exactly our subject. So the Gemara says, Tamud Lomar, Ubrashe Hochechem. We have a Pasuk. So Ubrashe Hochechem. It says, Vili Ubiyom, Subhatchem, Umuadechem. Ubrashe Hochechem, Utkatem, Bachasoserot, you blow the shof the trumpets, Al Olotechem, when you bring the Kola, Baal Zifhaj Shalmechem. Now we don't know what the question is yet, but the Gemara seems to use this pasuk as a refutation against Rav Acha to the extent the Gemara says Tiyufta, Rabbi Acha, Tiyufta. This is a knockout punch. This is a knockout blow. Refutation. So the Gemara says, "My Talmuda, what's the limud here? What's exactly the question? You quoted me a pasuk, how does that show me that you only blow one time on Shabbat Rosh Chodesh?" The Gemara says, "Amar Abaye, Amar Kera Ubrashe Chodchechem," which means regarding the Rashe Chodchechem, Rashe is plural, so it's comparing Hukshu Kol Chodashim Kulam Zelaze. It's comparing all the Rashe Chodashim to each other. In that, what sense? That just like a regular Chodesh, you blow one. So to Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, you blow one. Ubrashe Chodchechem. All the Rashe Chodashim are similar to each other. Hukshu Zelaze. Right? Rashi says, Le'inyan Tikiot, Shetikiotehen Shavot. So that's Abaye's interpretation. That's why it's a question on Rav Acha. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi Zahar, I'll give you a different proof. Ketiv Chodchechem. Chodchechem is actually Chodesh Shelachem, which is singular. Your month. Uchtiv ubrashe. Ubrashe is plural. Right? So the heads of your month. Really, the pasuk should be plural. How would you make the pasuk plural? Let's say you put a yud. Chodshechem, if there's a yud there, then it's chodashim shelachem. But the pasuk does not have a yud in there. Or it does not have a sereh. So therefore, as it says, if it has a sereh, it's also considered as if there's a yud there. But being that it has a Sheva, Chod Shechem, that makes it singular. So make up your mind, Ubrashe, on the heads of your month. So Rav Asher says, Ve'eze Chodesh Yesh Lo Shnei Rashim, which month has two heads? Have you made Zeh Rosh Hashanah? That's Rosh Hashanah, because it's the beginning of the year, and it's also the beginning of the month. And what is the Pasuk saying? V'amar Rahmana Chod Shechem Hadi. The Torah calls the Rashe, the case that has two heads, it calls it one month, which means it's considered one. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah, you bring two korbanot, of course, one for the musaf, but the point, two musafim, but the point is what? You only blow once. So that's a question against Rav Acha. Or actually even more, maybe you only bring one korban. But the point is you don't blow two times on Rosh Chodesh, which is Rosh Hashanah. According to Rav Acha, he said, what do you mean? You blow one for Rosh Chodesh, one for Rosh Hashanah, and if it falls on Shabbat, you blow one for Shabbat. Here it's saying, no, Ubrasheh Tochechim. Even if you have a month that's Rasheh, has many heads, it's only considered 1 month, and you only blow one. So that's the proof. Good, that she says, Shnei Rashim, Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah. The Kari Rachmana, Chodchechim, Hasir Ketiv, the Nyantiki, Oot. The Oot, another question. So now you understand that question that we asked above. When the Pasuk said, Talmud Lomar Ubrasheh Chodchechim, now you understand the Derash of it. Mm-hmm. It's either according to Abaye, that all the months are compared to each other, Ubrasheh Chodchechim, all Rosh Chodesh are compared to each other, it's only, always one set of blowing, or the month that has two heads, which is Rosh Hashanah that has two heads, it's Rosh Hashanah plus Rosh Chodesh, and still it's considering it one, and therefore you only blow one. Therefore it's a Tiyufta against Ravacha. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'od Tanya, we have a Braita. Now this Braita over here is going to discuss the songs that they sang in the Beit HaMikdash on the holiday of Sukkot. Again, every day the Beit HaMikdash was a Shir Shil Yom that the Levi'im would sing. Now we're going to give you the list of songs that the Levi'im would sing during the Korban Tamid of holiday of Sukkot. The Gemara says, Ve'od Tanya, we have a Braita. Be'holo Shil Mo'ed, Al-Hala Mo'ed. Barishon Mayu Omrim, first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkot. What was the song that they used to sing? Havud Hashem Bene Elim. Havud Hashem Bene Elim, Havud Hashem Kavod Ha'oz, Ishtavud Hashem, Badrat Kodesh. That's Tehilim Chaftet. What's the Hadush of that? Because it says in that chapter, Kol Hashem Alamayim. Talks about the water. And since on the first day of Chol HaMoed, that's when you start the mitzvah of so they would sing a chapter of the Tehillim that refers to the water. Okay, so that's the first one. Habit Shoeva. Bashini, second day of Chol HaMoed, what was the song? Ma'yu Omrim, Ulrasha Amar Elohim. And the end of the Pasuk says, Malecha Lesaper Chukai Vatisabiriti Alefika. That's actually Tehillim Gimal, which the Nun would be better, which is the pasuk is really saying over here, and God says to the Rasha, what are you speaking my statutes? So that's giving rebuke to the Rasha, which means the Kohanim, the Levim sing this song in the Beit HaMikdash on the second of Chol HaMoed when people start coming to the Beit HaMikdash. So the Kohanim are giving them rebuke. What do you think? You're just coming to the Beit HaMikdash over here? If you're a Rasha, God doesn't want you here. You're going to come to the Beit HaMikdash on the holiday? You have to make teshuvah. If you make teshuvah, then already God will allow you to come to his house. So it's like a rebuke in the song that makes sure if you're coming to visit Hashem, God wants you to make repentance. That's the way Rashi understands. Furthermore, let's read Rashi together with Rasha Amar. V'chol ha-mizmor devrei kivushin, it's all musar. L'nei'safim na'azara le'mitzvah tahag, that people come to the azara for a holiday, v'smechim, simcha tahag, and they're happy. U'mukhihim, Pasuk rebukes them. מה לך לספר חוקיי? כלומר, למה לך לבוא לבית זה עם שאר עמי אין לך חוזר בתשובה? פירה כנמק תשובה. ובאותו מזמור כתיב, זובח לאלוהים תודה ושלם לעליון לדרך. The pasuk also talks about a person fulfilling his vows to God, meaning he makes a vow to bring a certain korban, you have to pay your debts. על שחג הסוכות סימן בל תאחר ולשלוש רגלים כסדרן. We have a law called בל תאחר, which means the guy makes a vow, let's say, on Pesach to bring a korban. So he has three holidays to bring the Qurban. If he doesn't bring it by the third holiday, he's in contempt. He's guilty. So you have Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. So if you're going in order, Sukkot is the third holiday that now his debt is due. So they read that chapter that also talks about the mitzvah of paying your debts on time. Okay? Good. V'sof ha-mizmor. Rashi says, the end of the mizmor is what? Zobeyach toda yechabedaneni. The person that brings the Thanksgiving Korban brings Kavod to Hashem. V'sam derech ar'enu. V'sam derech ar'enu. So the Gemara in a different place learns from this word, V'sam derech. Don't read it, V'sam derech. But read the Pasuk, V'sham derech. That, to teach you that a person has to evaluate his ways in this world. It says, V'sham derech. Someone that evaluates his ways in this world, ar'enu b'yesha Elohim. He will see the salvation of God. That's also an allusion to that person when they're coming to the Beit HaMikdash, you're telling the people, V'sham derech, make sure you evaluate your ways. That's the second day. On the third day, Chol HaMoed, what was the song? Mi yakum li im mir'im. That's Tehillim Tzaddi Dalit. Now, on the third day of Chol HaMoed, they sang Pesukim from Tehillim Tzaddi Dalit. Ubarbi'i Mayu Omrim. What did they sing on the fourth day of Chol HaMoed? Binu Bo'arim Ba'am. Uksilim Matay Taskid. That's also Tehillim Tzaddi Dalit. So they wouldn't even sing whole chapters. They would sing pieces of the same chapter on consecutive days, that as she points out, they're actually singing these songs out of order. Because the Pasuk, Mi Yakumli Imidi'im, comes after the Pasuk of Binu Bo'arim Ba'am. But Binu Bo'arim Ba'am, they sing on the fourth day, while Mi Yakumli Imidi'im, they sing on the third day. So Rashi tells us why. Look at Rashi, Mi Yakumli Imidi'im, Ubinu Bo'arim Bimezmor Ehad. They're all in the same chapter. Right. Ubinu Bari Mugdam. Umiyakumni Mewahar. Then Magdimimita Mewahar. On the third day, they put the later Pasuk. They sing, why? Then the Ebbe Anayim Tesha Parashat Miyakumni Medaberet Al Tsarotan. This talks about the Tsarot that Bnei Yisrael endured. Sheayum Shu'badim Bebayet Shiri Taht Malche Paras, Malche Yaban, Malche Romi. During the second Beit HaMikdash, the Jewish people were subjugated under Goyim. The Greeks, the Persians, the Romans, the Afa Pichen, and Amnim Naim and the Smawah Simhat Malkam. But they still came to the Beit HaMikdash, and they were happy on Sukkot, and they rejoiced. Umit Padalim. And what was the prayer that they said? Mi Yakum Lanu Latzilenu Min Amiraim Ele. Mi Yakum Li Miraim. Who's going to save me from these Rishaim, from these wicked people? Lule Hashem Azrat Ali. If God would not come to my aid, Kemaat Shachena Duma Nafshi. Which means I would be silenced. I would be finished. Imamarti mata ragli. I was saying that my legs are going to crumble. Sarapai bekirbi tanchumecha yeshashu. Your consolation is my I toy in your consolation. Which means I continue to exist, only God, because of your consolation. Kilomat af lefi sarotenu. Which means even though we have sarot. Even though we're suffering, people on the second Beit HaMikdash said, we're still coming to enjoy your consolation. That the second day, meaning on the fourth day, they would say, Binu Bo'arim Ba'am. Now what does Binu Bo'arim literally means? Burn. Bo'arim. Binu. Be smart. Those that are being burning. Those that are Bo'arim. What does it mean? Because in Sukkot time, that's the time you're obligated to give your tzedakot. You have leket, shekha, pe'ah. That's when the people would gather the wheat from their fields. So you have to start giving all your entitlements to the aniyim. That's when you have to give up your ma'aseh rishon and all your ma'asrot. So they would tell the people on the fourth day of Sukkot, binu bo'arim ba'am. Make sure you do the bi'ur. Bi'ur means get rid of all your tzedakah obligations and pay them. And then the end of that chapter says, Hanota ozen, hano yishma. The one that gave you the ears, you don't think he can hear? Hayosir ayin, the one that created the eyes. Hello, yabit, don't you think he can see you? Because a guy might say, how does God know if I give my ma'asrot or not? That's between me and myself. He doesn't know if I paid my tzedakah or not. So the Kohanim would read the pasuk, Hayosir ayin, hello, yabit, God doesn't see you. You think God doesn't know what you're doing? So the fourth day's chapter was musar for the people, binu bo'arim. Make bi'ur, meaning pay your debts to the charity. Okay? We continue. No. This is a Sukkot. I was a Sukkot. That's when they harvested the fields. You have to remember, it was farming industry in those days. It wasn't money. So the gave was wheat. It was produce. So when did they harvest? That was Sukkot time. They collected the produce. So therefore, that's when they would have to settle up with the Bani'im. Mahamishi, on the fifth day of Chol HaMoed, what did they say? Mayu Omrim, Hasiroti Misebel Shechmo. Hasiroti Misebel Shechmo, that she says, Devre Tanchuminen. These were words of consolation. Imtisku Basara, Imtisku, if you have the Zechu, Basara Karata, you'll call to God out in your time of need, Bahalaseka, and God will save you. E'ancha Beseteram, E'bchoncha Amem Riba. God will answer you, and He will give you the Meh Meribah. What is Meh Meribah? Alamayim Shinudunim Alachag. Meh Meribah is the waters that are being judged. There's a judgment of water on the Sukkot. lefi ma she'anu bohancha, which is God says, according to the way I test you or analyze you, according to your deeds, if soklecha, I'll make our judgment on the water. Al shem shemit palidim al gishamim, because at that time in Sukkot they prayed for the waters. Yisrichim lahem, they need them. Uchti b'mezmor zeh anochi Hashem onecha malcham esmusam harhepicha babaleo. God says, just pray, open your mouth, and I'll fill it. Sheishlam rachem beracha. End up you'll have good produce with wheat. So that's again obviously a sukkah related mizmor. Beshishima you omrim, on the sixth day, what would they say? Yimotu kol mosde aris. What is it referring to? That she says b'mizmor Elohim nisab ba'adat el. Okay, that's actually teirim pebet. The omrim kol mizmor. Hashem shkatu bo ani varash asdiku. You have to give the tzedakah to the poor people. Elu maaserot. That's referring to the maaserot that you have to give on all. Shekein hu nidrash becholin tzedek b'shelecha v'tendo. Perek azra lo yad'u ve'lo yavinu. Ba'ashecha yitalachu. They're walking in darkness. Mi she'enu noten libo le'avin. The person doesn't put his mind to understand things. Lachen ba'ashecha yitalachu. It's like a person walking in darkness. Zumita, that's referring to Dharma. A person doesn't analyze his ways, so what's going to happen? He ends up, that's kedetnan. Barba perakim hadever mitrabeh. There's four times a year that, Hasv v'Shalom, it says, pestilence becomes rampant. Bemotzei Hag. And one of the times of the year, after Sukkot is over. Why? Shebechol shana mepene gezel matenot aniyim. When a person steals money that he owes to the aniyim, he doesn't pay them. Gorem kedala le'olam. He causes curse to come to the world. Ve'avon and hunger. Shiyimotu kol afse'are. So therefore, the Kohanim are going to rebuke the people. Pay attention. Yimotu kol mosde'ares. If you don't give your tzedakot, if you don't ani varash asdiku, paletudal ve'evyon, to save the poor people. Chas v'shalom, God's going to bring David on the nation. Okay. So basically, that takes care of the 6 days of Chol HaMoed. Right, it's a 7 day holiday. The first day is Yom Israel. First day is Yom Tov. 6 days Chol HaMoed. That takes care of the whole Chol HaMoed. Hal Shabbat be'echad mehem. Now let's say one of the days of Chol HaMoed is Shabbat. So Yimotu Yidheh. So what you do is you get rid of the last day. You get rid of the Mizmor of Yimotu. Meaning, on Shabbat you had a special Mizmor. Okay, let's say Shabbat is the third day. So you start the first day, whatever the mizmor is. The second day, whatever the mizmor is. The third day, you don't sing the mizmor of the third day. No. You sing the mizmor of Shabbat. Now on the fourth day, you sing the third day's song, and you continue. So basically, by the time you get to the sixth day, you're cutting off the last song. Yimotu is the mizmor that is cut out. Right? So you just pick up Shabbat, you do its own thing, and you pick up where you left off, and continue. That's the... That's the principle. Now, we continue. Rav Safra, manach bi'u simana. Rav Safra came along to give you a siman. How are you going to remember the mizmorim? What to say? So the siman was, hum bahi. What's the siman hum bahi? Havu l'Hashem is the he. The vav is ul rasha amar. The mem is mi yakum li imiri'im. The bet is binu bo'arim ba'am. The he is hasiroti mesevil shekmo, and the yud is yimotu kolaf se'ares. So the way you remember the six mizmorim that they sang, hum bahi. Rapapa manach beusimana. Rapapa had a different siman. He said hum habi. He put the first three were the same. It's four and five. He had reversed. Okay? Right. He had Hasiroti first, and then Binu Boharim Ba'am. Okay? It's just Hum Bahi or Hum Habi. It's Machloket, what the order of the days were. Now, how are you going to remember who said what? How do I know that Rav Safra is the one that said Hum Bahi? So the Gemara says, V'simanach, the siman to remember that Rav Safra was the one that said Hum Bahi, that the bet came before the hair. Ambuha the safre. There's a phrase that I guess was common in those days. A safre is a school teacher. Ambuha is the is the troops of the school teacher. Meaning, next to the school teacher, there's a lot of people. There's the parents dropping their kids off to school, and the kids and all that. So they call that commotion next to a school teacher, Ambuha de Safre. The troops that are next to the school teacher. Now, how do you say the word Ambuha? The bet comes before the he. So Ambuha, who's the one that puts the bet before the he? The Safre. Safre is Safra. So therefore, that statement would be a way to remember who said what. In any event, the Gemara says Tiyuftad Ravacha Bar Hanina Tiyuftad. Hey, you see, you have a question, a refutation against Ravacha. What's the question? Rashi Tiyuftad Ravacha De'amar Tukhin Al Kol Musaf. According to Ravacha, he said every Musaf you have a Tiki'ot Alma De'amar Lechon Achad Shiro. When did they blow the Tiki'ot again? They blew the Tiki'ot during the Shir, during the song. Now here we're learning that when Shabbat comes out on one of the days of Chol HaMoed, you cut out Yimotu Alma Lo Amru B'Shvat Shel Chol HaMoed Ela Shir Shel Shabbat. But on Shabbat itself you're saying one Mizmor. Now if you're saying one Mizmor, that means what? You only did one set of Tikiot, which if it would have said on the Shabbat of Sukkot, you do the Shabbat song and it's also Sukkot, and sing the Sukkot song. Don't cut off anything. It's still the third day of Sukkot, whatever day it is. And the fact is you're cutting out your motu, that means that you're skipping one of the songs of the rotation. That means on Shabbat you're only doing one song. That means you're only blowing once. Are you only blowing once? Tiyuftah. I get another refutation against Rav Acha. Comes the Gemara and says, hold it. Rav Acha, he didn't make this up. If you remember, on the last Amud, Rav Acha actually brought Pesukim to support his view. The Pesukim that he brought were, it says, Ubnei Aharon HaKohanim Yitki'u B'Hasoserot. It says, and the Levim are going to blow the trumpets. So he said, what do you mean? It says already, Utkatem B'Hasoserot. One does have to repeat Yitki'u B'Hasoserot. So the repetition of the Pesuk teaches me that they have to blow twice sometimes. What? When you have a case of Rosh Hashanah, Shechalu B'Shabbat, they blow twice. So he had Pesukim to support his opinion. And not only that, the Pesukim were brought in a Braita. So the Gemara is going to say, you're knocking out Rav Acha, what do you do with his Pesuk? What do you do with his Braita? The Gemara says, Veha Rav Acha Bar Hanina Kra Umatnita Kamar. He's got Pesukim to support his opinion, and he's also got a Braita. So Amar Ravina, Rav Acha, we learned the pasuk different than you did. You learned that extra pasuk teaches you that you have to blow extra tikiot, blow an extra nine. Nah, lomar shema'arichin b'tikiot. We learned this to mean that you are ma'arich b'tikiot, that you just have to blow the tikiot a little longer, which means you blow the same nine, but just blow them longer. Why? So the Rashi explains over here like this. Rashi explains like this. I'm giving you the Perush of Rashi based on the Rashash is emendation on Perush Rashi. And then we'll read it inside. But the Rashash's bottom line Perush of Rashi of what this Gemara means is as follows. They used to sing the shir after they finished the nesicha. They would pour the nesuch hayayin, I guess, on Sukkot, plus the nesuch hamayim, right? Now, umashma'ut hadavar shebechol yom shesharu al nesuch echad, which is normally they would sing the song during one nesuch, one pouring, kabru otashi b'gmar nesuch. But by the time the nesuch was over, the shir was done. However, about biyom sheyibo shnei musafim, hayu gam shnei nisuchim. Forget about the nisuch hamayim. On the day that there's two musaf, there's two korbanot, you had an additional nisuch. So therefore, you had to sing the song longer. Why? So the song will end with the end of the second nisuch. Now we know, when did they blow the shofar? At the time of the singing. So therefore, if the song got longer, the tikiot also had to be longer in order to finish with the nisuch. So therefore, that's what it means. When it says in the pasuk, b'hasosot yitki'u, it means certain times you'll have to blow, not extra, but the tikiot that you're blowing have to blow for a longer period of time in order to coincide with the finishing of the two nisuchim that are going to be poured. But that's the way the Rashash understands what she is saying. That's one answer. Next answer, Rabbanan de Kisri, Meshemed, Rav Aha, Amri, Lomar, Shemarbe Betokin. Hedush is, you have more trumpeteers. Which means normally you have two Levi'im blowing the shofarot. But on the holiday where you have two Musafin, the mitzvah is bring more people with trumpets. Again, they're blowing the same nine sounds, but just be marbe betokain, because it's more special. Okay, that she says marbe betokain she musafin hasus betokain yahad. Okay, now it says en poatim mishte hasusarot. Minimum you had two trumpeteers. But on a day where you had an additional musaf, that already you can go up to 100, you can go up to 1,000. There's no limit. So basically, there's three interpretations of this pasuk. You have Rav Acha, he learned b'chasusrot yitki'u, an additional nine for the extra musaf. You have these two opinions. Either say no. You just blow longer, or you add trumpeteers to the band. Okay, we continue. New point. Be'anan, de'itlan tre yomeh. We have 2 days of Yom Tov, which means we're in Galut. Okay? So the first 2 days are Yom Tov. Okay? Then we start Chol HaMoed on the third day. So the Gemara says, Hechi avdinan. What do we do? What's the Gemara's question? What do we do regarding what? So the Gemara says, regarding Sefer Torah. Because the Sefer Torah reading on Chol HaMoed, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, it's very simple. On the first day of Sukkot, you read B'Hamisha Asar Yom, the 15th day. The second day is B'Yom HaShini. The third day, B'Yom HaShilishi, B'Yom HaRevi'i, and you continue, there's no brainer. Here in Galut, the first 2 days, you have to say B'Hamisha Asar Yom. Even though the second day is really the 16th, but it's a Safik, maybe it's the 15th. So now on the third day, what do you start with? Do you start with Ubayom Hashini, right? So now you can end up cutting off Bayom Hashivi'i, right? Because already you're saying Bayom Hashini on the third day. Or do you skip Bayom Hashini and just start with Bayom Hashilishi, which means which reading gets cut off? Do you cut off number 2 or do you cut off number 7? Understand again? On the third day of Sukkot, it's not Bayom Hashini, it's Bayom Hashilishi. But do we say, you know what? Just start from Yom HaShini, and the next day, Yom HaShishi, and by the last day of Sukkot, you're going to be Yom HaShishi. Right. Okay, so Shavi'i is cut out. Or, say you're on the third day, start from Yom HaShishi. Cut off Yom HaShishi. So that's the Gemara's question. Abaye Amar Shini Yidhe. Abaye says, push away Shini, meaning start on the second, on the third day of Sukkot, Yom HaShishi, and go to Yom HaShivi'i. He said, no, you cut off the seventh. I mean, you start on the third day by Yom HaShini, in the reading of the seventh, and you cut off by Yom HaShivi'i. So, look at Tanya Kivatei the Rabbah. We have a proof to Rabbah that's the last day that gets cut off. What's the proof? Imhal Shabbat Yod Behad Mim Yimotu Yidhe. Very good. Then we learn when it came to the Shir of the Levi'im on Sukkot. If Shabbat came as one of the days, which Shir did you cut off?
Last one.
The last day. Right? You continued in order until you got to the last day, which there's no mizmor anymore. So therefore you see that it's the last day that gets cut off. So too in the reading, the last day gets cut off. Again, that's not our practice. This is the way the Gemara originally wanted to say, that you start with 2, and you read 3, 4, 5, 6, and the 7th, Bayom HaShivi'i, is not read. But now the Gemara says, Atkin HaMemor B'Nehardea, but HaMemor made it Takana, in the city of the Hardea, the Medalge de Luge, which literally means you skip backwards. Now there's different opinions exactly what Amemor meant. Let's read Rashi. Atkin Amemor de Medalge de Luge. See this, last Rashi. Venimseu kulan omdim. If you're going to follow this skipping backwards method, kulam omdim, you'll get all the days. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How? אומרים ביום ראשון של חול המועד, ביום השני וביום השלישי. So on the first, on the second day of Chol HaMoed, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, which is the third day of the holiday. Now, for us, it's a sefek. Is it day two or day three?
Yeah.
Again, because if the second day of the holiday is Yom Tov Rishon, so then Yom Tov Rishon, so it's really the second day of the holiday. So this first day of Chol HaMoed is sefek two, sefek three. ביום שני, ביום שלישי, ספק שני, ספק שלישי. ומחר, on the second day of Chol HaMoed, אומרים ביום השלישי וביום הרביעי. So again, on the second day of Chol HaMoed, it's ספק three, ספק four. Okay? וביום הרביעי שלישי, דחול המועד, ביום הרביעי וביום החמישי. Okay? And now on the third day of Chol HaMoed, it's ספק four, ספק five. וברביעי, ביום החמישי וביום השישי. ובחמישי דוחל המועד שהוא השחרן הבא אומרים ביום השישי וביום השביעי כספקו. So therefore what you're really doing is you're skipping backwards. That's on the first day of Chol HaMoed you read ביום השני וביום השלישי. The next day you skip backwards and you read ביום השלישי again and ביום הרביעי, because that's a ספק. On the next day you read ביום הרביעי, ביום החמישי, you're always skipping backwards to read what you read the day before. So that's according to what this is saying. That every day you're going to read two readings. Now, we don't know how we're going to split up the Olim, because we know there's four Olim on Chol HaMoed. So it's master from this, that every Olim reads the two Sefekot. ביום השני, ביום השלישי. Read it just four times in a row. דלוגי שאומרים היום מה שאמרו אתמול, ידם נגבי ראש חודש. Now, where did they get this לשון דלוגי? We use this לשון בראש חודש. בראש חודש, there's not enough פסוקים for four עולים. So the Gemara Megillah says that you read three פסוקים for the first עולה, then the second עולה, you go back one פסוק. You read ואמרת להם a second time. So skipping backwards. So that's why he uses the לשון דלוגי. It's a borrowed terminology from the concept of ראש חודש. Now, Rashi comes along and says like this. Rashi comes along and says, הרביעי הקורא שהוא מוסף בחולו של מועד יותר משאר ימים וניכר שהוא בא לכבוד היום. הוא קורא את ספקו היום. In Rashi's first explanation, he says it's the only Aliyat Revi'i that reads ספקו של יום. Which means, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, according to Rashi's first interpretation, it's ביום השני, ביום השני, ביום השני. Then the fourth guy says ביום השני, ביום השלישי. Because since the fourth Oleh is the Oleh of Chol HaMoed, so he's the one that should read the Sefekot. That's his first interpretation here. Kohen reads ביום השני, Levi reads ביום השני, Shilishi reads ביום השני. The fourth Oleh, which is the Chol HaMoed Oleh. A normal day you only get regular Monday, Thursday, there's only three Olim. The fourth is coming mitaram Chol HaMoed. So in the fourth Oleh, you read ביום השני, ביום השלישי. That's the first interpretation of Rashi. So it's two, 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 three. Now, bottom line of Rashi, ומכל מקום כך היו נוהגים רבותיי. זה במאי רבא, זה היה דפק מנהג. שני ראשונים קוראים שניים ספקי היום. The first two olim read the two ספקות, meaning עליית כהן, two, עליית לוי, three, והשלישי בפרשת יום המחרת, עליית שלישי, four. So according to Rashi's rabbis, the custom was 2, 3, 4. שאינה מספקת היום כלל. העליית שלישי, that's reading day 4, it's not even part of the Sefer God. והרביעי חוזר וקורא מה שקרו שתיים הראשונים. And the רביעי goes back to read 2, 3. So according to Rashi's rabbis, it's 2, 3, 4, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. So the Maftir is always going to read the Sefer God Shel Yom, but you read the subsequent days. That's the way the Ashkenazim do as well. So they follow this Minhag, that they read on this, the first day of Chol HaMoed, they already read 2, 3, 4. They're already on the next day. Now, our Minhag is not like that. Our Minhag is, we do 2, 3, 3, 2, 3. Aliyat Kohen reads Sefekot Shel Yom, that's 2. The next two olim read the sefekot of three, and they do that twice, and then the Rivi'i again reads the both sefekot of two, three. But basically, what you're gaining by this method, no matter what you're following, all the days are going to be mentioned, because you're mentioning 2 days, right? You're going to always get to day seven, because on Hoshana Rabbah you're going to read sefek six, sefek seven, but you're going to get day seven. You're not just reading one day. In the original approach of the Gemara, you were just going to read one. So we want which day you cut off. Do you cut off day two? Do you cut off day seven? Here you're not cutting off anything. You're going to read the sefekot on there. So because there's three opinions that were brought down over here. We saw two in the Rashi, and then we have our Minhag that we know that's based on also the Shulchan. Okay, now we go to the Mishnah and the Amud Bet. Now, in order to understand this Mishnah, let us give an introduction, and also the Mishnah flows. Basically, in the Beit HaMikdash, we had 24 Mishmarot. Those are the 24 groups that served in the Beit HaMikdash on, during the course of the year. On the holiday, specifically Sukkot, all the Mishmarot came to the Beit HaMikdash, and they shared in the service of the Korbanot. Our Mishnah is going to teach us exactly the rotation, how they divided up the Korbanot of the Hag. Now, let's discuss the Korbanot of the Hag. On the first day of the holiday, they brought 13 parim. The parim are the main Korban of the holiday. You brought 13 on the first day. You brought Elim Shenayim, two rams, and one goat. So that's already 16 Korbanot. Plus an additional 14 kevasim, 14 sheep. Now, the 14 kevasim were brought every day. That's a standard number. As well as the two elim and the one sa'ir. The par, however, the parim fluctuated. The first day 13, then it went down to 12, then the next day 11, till you got to the last day of Sukkot, where you brought 7. Okay? Now, every mishmar got a chance to bring a par. As a matter of fact, all the mishmarot got two chances to bring a par, and most of the mishmarot even got three chances to bring a par. Why? Because altogether there were 70 parim on the holiday. Okay? Now there are 24 mishmarot. Okay? So how many mishmarot altogether? How many shots? So 20, 40, 60. So you have 72. You have in rotation, you have 72. Right? The cycle can go around. If you go around three times, it's 72. So the last two are not going to bring the korban par three times. Everybody goes around once, rotation, they bring a par. Each mishmarot brought a par. Like we'll discuss the rotation in a minute. Then once they finish the rotation, they start again. Everybody brings the par. And they went around the stage a third time. When they got to the last two, those last two mishmarot, they're out. They weren't able to bring a third time. Okay, that's basically the rules. Now, let's discuss how they did it. Let's number the mishmarot 1 to 24. Okay? Now, on the first day, you started with the first 16 korbanot. You have the first 13 mishmarot, meaning 1 to 13 brought parim. 13 parim. Okay, 13 parim. 1 to 13 a parim. And then the next one, 2 elim. That's number 14 and 15. Number 16 brought the ayir. Okay? Brought the sa'ir. Okay, correct, sa'ir. Now, you have 14 kevasim, right? Left over? So now you continue the rotation. The 14 kevasim, you have 8 left. 8 left in the rotation to get to 24. Okay, so you finish the 8. And how many more parim, kivasim you have? You have 6. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first 6 bring kivasim. Okay? So basically, on that, okay, so I repeat again. The first, listen again, that's not the cycle. The first 16 is correct, as I said. Now you have 8 left. So in the remaining 8, we divide the kevasim. How do we divide 14 kevasim amongst 8 mishmarot? So what we do is, the first 6
meaning starting from 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, they bring two kevasim each. Okay, if two kevasim each, so you have two left over, 23 brings one, 24 brings one. So therefore, on day one, we went through all 24, six of the mishmarot are going to bring two kevasim. Good? Okay. Now, we start day two. Now, day two already, we don't start from mishmar number one. Because mishmar number one already bought parim. We want to start from the mishmar that didn't get to bring a parim. We want to give everybody a chance to bring parim first. Okay? So we start from mishmar number 14. Right? Because yesterday, 1 to 13 brought parim. So on day two, we start from mishmar number 14. And how many parim we have on day two? We have 12. So we go down 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 1. So on day two already you finished the cycle, and now already by day two, you're in doubles already, right? Mishmar number one already brought two parim. Okay? Now once you finish with the parim, you continue going down. You have your two aisles. So that would be 2 and 3, okay? And then you have the Sa'ir would be 4, okay? Now you have your 14 kevasim, okay? So your 14 kevasim, you start going down, which is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You keep on going down. Not everybody gets one there. To finish it down, what's going to happen is, instead of, like yesterday you had six groups, got two. In this case, you have five groups are going to get two kevasim each. So that'll get you to 10. And then you finish with the next four, bring one each, and you finish again the cycle. Now, on the next day, on day three, you pick up where you left off from day two. Who's the last one that brought a par? Mishmar number one. And you start from Mishmar number two, right? He starts bringing the parim. Now you only have 11. Now you go down to 11. So those guys all now are already on their second time around. Continue with the two elim, one sa'ir. Now you still got your 14 kevasim. On the third day, now only four groups get doubles. That takes you to 8, right? And then you finish the 6, one each. So you finish the cycle. Okay? And continue doing that till you get to the last day. You understand the process already. On the last day, it's exactly 24 korbanot. So it's one each. Why? Because on the last day, it's 7 parim. You're down to 7. You got 2 kevasim. I'm sorry, 2 elim. That's 9. One sa'ir, that's 10, plus the 14 kevasim is 24. So by the last day, every mishmar gets one. Comes out, 70 parim were brought. That means each mishmar really got 3 shots, except 2 of them. And that's the cycle. So basically they split the korbanot evenly amongst the mishmarot. Okay, that's the chidush. Now let's read that inside. Yom tov arishon shel hag. Hayu sham yud gimel parim. Elim shenayim v'sa'ir echad. Nishtayiru sham yud dalet kevasim. Shmona mishmarot. Lishmona mishmarot. You have 14 kevasim in 8 mishmarot. How do you divide 14 in the remaining 8 mishmarot? Bayom rishon, shisha makririm shnayim. 6 of those mishmarot bring 2 kevasim each. Right? That's 12. So you have 2 more. Vashia, shnayim shnayim, vashia, echad echad. And the last 2 mishmarot, meaning mishmarot number 23 and 24, bring 1 each. Vashini, on day 2, again, remember on day 2, you're starting the parim from number 14. Okay? So you go all the way down the list, and you end up at number 1. Right? You go all the way down the list, because you're bringing 12 this time, and at number 1. Man, you continue bringing the 2 elim, and the 1 sa'ir. Now, hamisha makribim shnayim shnayim. The next 5 will bring 2 kevasim each. That takes you to 10 kevasim, bashar, and the remainders, echad, echad. They will bring 1 keves each.
Okay, that gets it again 14 kevasim. Bashirishi, Dalit makribim shnaim shnaim, Bashari had a had. Barbi'i, Shlosha makribim shnaim shnaim, Bashari had a had. Bahamishi, Shnaim makribim shnaim shnaim, Bashari had. בשישי אחד מקריב שניים והשאר אחד אחד בשביעי כולם שווים. So basically you see the system, right? Basically the Mishnah is giving you the first day six mishmarot brotu kibasim, the next day five mishmarot brotu kibasim, four, three, two, till the last day it was one per. Okay, let's read Rashi quickly here for a second. Start from the beginning. Yom Tov Harishon Shel Chag. All the Mishmarot went up to the Regel. All the Mishmarot went up to the Regel. Be'shesh Esleh Me'en Makribim. Shesh Esleh Be'emot Alalo. The first 16 Mishmarot bring the first 16 Korbanot. Be'shtayiru. All the Mishmarot Zochot Be'chovot Aba'ot Nachmat HaRegel. All the Mishmarot are equal in their what they get for the Regel. Ve'em Mishmar Shel Otah Shabbat Yechola La'akev Alam. Which means the Mishmar of that Shabbat cannot say, hey, this is my rotation week. No. On the holiday, you're all equal. Because they did have a yearly cycle where every week another Mishmar served. The Mishmar of that week cannot come along and say, hey, all the Korbanot this week are mine. It's on my watch. No. Once the holiday comes, everybody is equal. Let's just read Rashi one cycle down. Yom HaRishon Shehayu Shemona Mishmarot Liyudalet Kivasim. But you have 8 Mishmarot left because the first 16 wrote the first 16 Korbanot.
Yeah.
Now to finish the 24, you have 8 left. So you have to divide 14 Kivasim amongst the remaining 8. So that she says, Shisha Mishra Mena Shemona Yuachim Shanaim Kshik Mesikol Ahat Mena Re Shanaim Shem Asak Vasiv HaShar Shanaim HaNotarot Makribot Ahat Ahat. Now let's just read one more cycle in Nashi. Bashini Shinit Ma'et Ahat Mena Parim. You took out one of the Parim Vereshtayru Tish'a Mishmarot Liyudalet Kivasim. It's very, very, very a simple calculation. He since you have one less par, so now you have 9 left over for your kevasim. So what you do is you have more mishmarot can bring now 1. So therefore you just do 5 mishmarot doubled, and then the rest will bring 1 each. Rashi hamisha mimaklim shnayim shnayim are 10 v'shar arba notarot maklibot kol achat kevasat and so on and so forth. Good. Back to the Mishnah. Bashemini, now Shemini Haseret, Hazu the pious. They went back to the lottery. Kibir Galim, like on the regular Galim, which means don't think they continued the cycle for Shemini Haseret. Shemini Haseret is considered a separate holiday, and therefore they brought a par on that day. But don't think the par you pick up from the mishmar that you left off. No. Shemini Haseret, everybody goes back into the hat, and they take a new lottery to who's going to bring the Korbanot for Shemini Atzeret. Amru, mi sheyakriv parim ayom, lo yakriv lemachar, ela chozim halila. The Mishnah just gives us the rule. The rule was, whoever brought parim today, you don't bring tomorrow. We start with the next Mishmar. Like we said, the first 13, right? The first 13 brought their parim, etc. And then you start the next day from number 14. Right? You always pick up the following day from the mishmar, the last mishmar that brought the parim. You don't repeat. I mean, you don't continue just where you left off the kevasim. Right? You close the cycle of parim. And that's what the Mishnah concludes. Mi sheikriv parim ayom, whoever wrote parim today, lo yakriv lemachar. Ela chozim halila. We go back according to the cycle. Ne'ma matnitin rabihi velo rabbanan. Let us say that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi and not Rabbanan. Why? The Tanya, par haba bishmini, the par that comes on the Shemini Atzeret, betchila mifisin alav. They would make a lottery for it. Devre Rabbi. That's the opinion of Rabbi. V'achemim omrim, achat mishte mishmarot. Hachemim say that no, on Shemini Atzeret, one of the two mishmarot delo shleshu beparim, that didn't get a third shot on the parim of Sukkot, ose oto. Now, it's mashma. Who's the one that says lottery on the eighth day? Rabbi.
Yeah.
Hachemim say
No, on the eighth day of Shemini Atzeret, you just give it to one of the two Mishmarot that didn't get a third shot. So it's Masra that Al Mishnah's following the B, because he's the one that says lottery. Even the rabbis made a lottery. Why? But the two Mishmarot, did you have to make a lottery amongst them? So therefore you can even say the Mishnah lottery means you make a lottery amongst the two remaining Mishmarot. Now, Keman Azla Hadetanya. Who is the following brayta going like? Kol haMishmarot Shonot Umshaldeshot. All the Mishmarot get two chances and even three chances to bring Parot. Chutz Mishne Mishmarot. Except for two Mishmarot Shonot, Ve'en Mishalshot. Okay? That they didn't bring three. Well, Ne'ma Rabbi Velo Rabbanan. Because according to the Banan, really, the next day, Shemini Atzeret, one of those Mishmarot is going to get a third shot. So technically, the statement that says two Mishmarot didn't get three shots is not accurate according to the rabbis. It's only accurate according to Rabbi. That's the Gemara's answer. I can even say the banan. My lost chilishu, the Pareh Hag. Means they didn't get a third shot on Pareh Hag. I'm just discussing Sukkot. But you're right, they got a third shot when it comes to Shemini Atzeret. Now they go, Umayka Mashmalan. So then the question is, what's the Hadush? You're telling me, I know mathematics. You're telling me that what? That on the Sukkot Parim, everybody got three shots except two. That's obvious, but do the math. So the governor, no, Kamash Ma'alan, Kamash Ma'alan, Mishikri Parim Ayom, no Yakri Lamahar. It's teaching you, you gotta go through the rotation first. That's the Hadush. Don't think you just start off you know, every day from the same Mishmarot. No, whoever brought today, you start from the continuing the next mishmar. That's the Hadush, okay? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hani Shiv'im Parim Keneged Mi. Okay, now the 70 Parim that you're bringing on Sukkot, what are they corresponding? Keneged what? Keneged Shiv'im Umot. That's Keneged the 70 nations of the world. Par Yechidi Lama. The one part that you brought on Shemini Atzeret, what is that corresponding? Keneged Umay Yechida. That's the one nation, meaning Am Yisrael. Mashal lemelek basar badam. She'amal la'abadav asuli se'udah gedola. He told all the servants, I make me a se'udah gedola. The se'udah gedola represents the 70 parim. Liyom haharon, on the last day, amar le'ohavo. He tells his beloved one, aseli se'udah ketana. You, let's make a small little private se'udah. Kedesh enim imcha, so I'll enjoy you. So which means the 7 days of Sukkot are connected to the 70 nations of the world. Shemini Atzeret. That's the holiday with us and Borei Olam. That's the one part. Amar Yohanan, Oilehem Neomot Olam. Woe to the Goyim. She'avdu. They lost out. Ve'en Yodim Ha'she'av. They don't know what they lost. Why? Bezman Shebet HaMikdash Kayam Mizbeach Mechaper Alehem. They didn't realize during Sukkot the 70 Korban was Mechaper on all the Goyim. They got Kapara. They were getting protected because of these Korbanim. Ve'akshav Mi Mechaper Alehem. Today that we don't bring these Korbanot, who is atoning for them? So they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, but they lost out as well. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.